You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC. I'm Julie Burstein here for Leonard Lopate on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. In 1634, a 22-year-old Dutch colonist set out on a journey into the heart of New York State's Indian country. He wanted to improve trade relations with the Indians, and his dangerous wintertime journey brought him in contact with people who had never seen a European before. His journal survived and has recently been translated into English by Charles Gehring, a scholar of New York colonial Dutch documents. This colonist would probably be very surprised to know that his journal has been also turned into a graphic novel by illustrator George O'Connor, titled Journey into Mohawk Country. It's published by First Second, and I'm pleased that the journal and this graphic novel brings both Charles Gehring by phone and George O'Connor to the Leonard Lopate Show today. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah. Hi, George.
Hey, Charlie.
Charles, you direct the New Netherland Institute, where you're translating a vast collections of records from the Dutch colonial period. How did you come to be involved in this project? And can you actually say the name of the colonist? I did a very good job in the intro not naming his name because I didn't want to mangle it.
His name is Harman Meindertse van den Boogaert.
Boogaert. Oh, God, I'm so glad Boogaert. I didn't say it.
Boogaert is sort of a contracted form of Boomgarten, which would be like an orchard or tree garden.
See, I thought it was more like Bogart, like Humphrey, so this
well,
is good.
Well, that's the same name.
Is it the same name?
Yeah,
okay.
It's a variation of the same name, Boogaert. And Boogaert, he was from Dutch extraction.
So what? Where did you find this journal?
It was brought to my attention that a new translation should be done of this journal back in the 70s when I first started working on this project. And the journal itself is out at the Huntington Library in San Marino, California.
That's a long way from New
York. I know.
York.
Huntington, as you know, was the railroad baron and... He was very fond of collecting manuscripts, especially New York manuscripts, and he collected this journal. So if you want to look at it, you have to go out to San Marino. Not a bad place to work, by the way.
That's true. And you're up in Albany, I know, so you probably chose winter months to go out and do your research out there.
That's right. I prefer to go to California in the winter if I could.
And, George, when did you find out about this story?
Well, a few years ago, Russell Shorto wrote a book called The Island at the Center of the World. And there's a chapter in there that actually mentions and kind of gives a brief description of what happens in this journal. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of New York history. I'm a huge fan of reading about vanished ways of life. And it just seemed really right up my aisle. So I hunted down a copy of Charles's translation, read it, thought it was one of the most cool things I'd ever read. And the idea came to me that, you know, this would be something that would be really cool if more people read. And maybe if I made it as a graphic novel, a lot more people would get a chance to see it.
Charles, what was it like when George, I guess you might have contacted Charles and said, I want to make a graphic novel out of this?
It was actually my publishers that contacted him. And I was, you know,
to show that you're serious, that this is really might actually happen.
Yeah, you know, instead of just some guy calling up. And I said, like, this was the one translation I really wanted. I'd read the older translations, which were public domain at this point. But, you know, Charles really was the superior one, so.
Charles, did you ever think your book would become a graphic novel?
Never. Parts of it have turned into a movie. I don't know if you're familiar with the movie Black Robe, but there's a scene in there where these French-Canadian captives are taken into a Mohawk village, and it's right out of the Van den Boogaert journal. And I always had in my mind visuals of what it must have looked like and what the three adventurers must have looked like.
And it was really something
to have
right?
it brought to life, to see it for the first time at... Both Bill Starna and I collaborated on this. He is an ethnohistorian specializing in the Mohawks.
So, George, I know you just joked that you nailed it. What did you think, Charles, when you saw the way that George imagined these characters?
At first, I was sort of stunned by some of the pictures because they really seemed so true to me. I couldn't have imagined doing it and making it so believable. The first thing that you notice are the Dutchmen look so young, and they were young. I've had people comment on that they look like young boys, and they were young boys. They were all in their early 20s, and they were off on a great adventure.
Who was Herman van den Boghart?
Herman van den Boghart was a barber surgeon. He was trained in the art of letting blood and shaving and so forth, medical practices.
It's so interesting that in those days you could cut hair and you could also cure people or try to of diseases.
That's right.
He's really interested in that.
That's why the barber pole has that bloody arm out in front with the white around the red. That's the gauze wrapping a bloody bloody arm.
And George, you said he's really interested in the
healing rituals. He does Mr. van den Boghart, because I can't pronounce it the way that Charlie does.
Good, then I don't have to either.
But Mr. van den Boghart, whenever he goes into the village, he records with real great detail and no judgmentalness at all the different healing rituals he sees of the Mohawk and Oneida that he encounters. That was one of the things that made this text so exciting to me. There was none of the high-handed superiority you might expect someone in his position to display. He's just, he's a student of life, and he's recording things that would really only be of interest to someone who actually was really interested in seeing what the Mohawks lived like.
He's fascinated by everything he sees, but especially the medical practices or the healing rituals that he witnesses by the Mohawks. He describes them in some detail, and you have to remember these are the earliest descriptions of what is taking place in the Mohawk Valley, 1634, 1635. There's nothing earlier than that.
Now, was he a journal writer before he took on this journey, or was this part of what sparked him to write?
To the best of my knowledge, this is the only surviving writings of his. Maybe Charlie can answer that a little bit more authoritatively, but I'm pretty sure this is the only thing of his that we have.
Right, that's all that I'm aware of.
And it is so interesting. At that time, he had a purpose, right, for this journey. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, yeah. In a nutshell, basically, the entire reason that the Dutch were here was to get beaver skins, which they would make into hats over in Europe. And the Dutch had set up a colony at what is now Albany. And they were in a really good position to trade with the Mohawk, who went into the interior, did the trapping, and then brought the pelts downriver. But then the French went a few miles north, built their own spot, and all of a sudden the Dutch noticed that they weren't getting very many pelts. And the Mohawks would come down and be like, well, the French giving us a better deal, it's easier. So what they did, and it's this last moment act of desperation, his bosses in Manhattan Island, they go and they send van den Boghart and the other two gentlemen out to basically figure out this trade deal. It's an all last ditch, all or nothing. Go out there, make nice with the Mohawks, and
get us back our supply.
Save our entire colony. And so that's what he goes out and does.
I'm speaking with illustrator George O'Connor and historian Charles Gehring, and George O'Connor's book is Journey into Mohawk Country, which is a graphic novel that describes the journey of van den Boghart in the 1600s that Charles has translated. Now, George, it sounds like you're fascinated by history, you loved this story. How did you begin to imagine what it should look like? Because many of us are not that familiar with 1630s New York.
Well, as Charlie mentioned, it is the earliest account that we have of the Iroquois people, which actually made it a little bit tough because it's a very virgin society that he records. There's a couple of great scenes in the book where, people see him on the path and just, they've never seen a European. They drop their stuff. They run into the bushes. Every time they go into a village, everyone just crowds around them and is fascinated. And, the Mohawk and the Oneida haven't gotten guns yet. They're always asking them to fire their weapons. So I had to, some of the research material was pretty few and far between. Nobody thought this stuff was going to disappear as quick as it did. So I had to, a lot of museums, a lot of little collections here and there, a lot of books.
To look at what Indian artifacts there might have been.
Yeah, and to try to find it without that European influence yet, because it changes very quickly. There's a kind of centerpiece of the book where Van den Bogart and his companions come into a Mohawk village and they put on a mock battle form. And he describes the armor they wear. But the Mohawk, they dropped their armor really quick after meeting Europeans because it wasn't bulletproof. They had a whole different way of fighting that was going on before. And to try to find examples of this armor, which featured so prominently in the book, in the text, was pretty tricky. I ended up having to borrow some designs from a couple of pretty bad drawings of the Huron who were related to the Mohawk. But it was a lot of stuff like that. But I think I was pretty good.
So you really were focused on keeping it as historically accurate.
I would love for this to be used as like a textbook or something. I want it to be a story you could read and just be like, oh, that's really cool. But I want there to be no glaring inconsistencies. I want this to be as accurate a depiction as I could do.
The coloring of the book is quite beautiful. In a way, it feels like a forest. It's all browns and blues.
Oh, I can't take credit for that. I had an awesome colorist named Hilary Sycamore.
So you drew the pictures and then...
I gave a few notes, but she did some stuff with the color that I wouldn't have thought to. Like that book, every time I read it, it makes my hands feel cold because she captures the freezing aspect of it so well with her palette.
It's remarkable what a collaboration this is. Charles, you translated, and then George, you imagined this, and then your colorist brought it to life in another way, too.
Yeah, yeah, and everything came together really nicely, I think.
I gave it to my, I showed a copy to my grandson, who was about 8 years old at the time. He grabbed it and immediately took it to school, and I think it was a big hit in his class, and it's just perfect for getting young kids engaged in the colonial period.
Well, I know I have two sons who are about the age of your grandson, and they're totally fascinated by graphic novels and by comics, and they've read other things about the colonial period, but the language itself feels colonial. It doesn't entirely... It feels like, Charles, you've translated it, but not so that it sounds like a kid could be speaking this on the corner. This is really part of what the feeling of 1630 might be.
Right. I tried to remain true to to Van den Bogart's style of writing. He was writing in very uncomfortable situations, as you can imagine, taking notes and so forth. And
in Albany in the winter.
It's not a beautiful style or a literary style, but it's very straightforward what he says.
Did that make it complicated, George, to figure out how to tell the story visually, or did that give you more?
Pretty early on, while discussing with my editor, I decided there was going to be a few spots. My first draft, I followed the text very closely, but he was not writing for an entertaining audience. He was just, except for a few instances, he was just recording everything he saw. So there's a few moments where I've kind of taken the liberty of departing from the text. I don't alter any text, and everything he wrote, and as Mr. Gehring translated, is there. But there's a few spots where I have things that happen that are kind of only hinted at in the text. He also, which I did not include in my edition, Van den Bogart made a Dutch to Mohawk dictionary, which has been translated into English now, too. And there's a lot of little hints of other adventures that might have occurred off panel, so to speak. He knows how to, for instance, proposition a woman in Mohawk. So I kind of brought in the idea that at least one member of the group gets a girlfriend.
Which you learned from the dictionary.
Well, the hints of the dictionary.
Uh-huh.
There's also a lot of great translations of the actual Mohawks' names, which kind of led to my designs. There's one guy called Skoria, whose name translates as skeleton. So, of course, he's a very tall, thin guy. And one of the main Mohawk characters is Arrhenius, or Aromius. He records it a couple different ways, which means he who is charismatic or he who spreads himself around. So he becomes this very macho, very charismatic foil to Harmon, who... Well, Harmon kind of gets my height. I made him short just like I am. And, he's not the dashing leading man.
And he has a little beard just like you do.
Yes. Poor Harmon. Let me apologize to Harmon in case he was a big, tall, strapping guy. I'm sorry.
But it must be a very interesting thing. I mean, you're someone who is an illustrator. I know you won the Leonard Lopate contest at Thanksgiving.
I was one of the winners.
One of the winners. To then kind of place yourself in this very different period.
Yeah, it was, like I said, it's something I love. I'm just, you know, I love reading about history. And
have
like
you always
book.
Loved history? Is that something you've loved since you were a kid?
I've always loved history. I've always really loved the Mohawks. You know, I have a sketchbook from 8 years old, and it's, you know, it's full of Mohawks, and they
really?
Don't look that much different in the depictions, you know. My style has, of course, got much, you know, more advanced, but it's just something I've always been really interested in. So this was just such a long simmering project for me in that way.
When you embarked upon it, what was the biggest challenge for you?
Biggest challenge, I guess, would probably, but, and it was so much fun for me, was doing all the research, making sure everything was really accurate and trying to give it a little bit of a thread of a narrative throughout too. Just the pacing of it. And I feel like there's a couple sequences in the book where I really kind of really caught what the book could be about. There's a sequence, the Mohawk used to keep tame bears. They would keep them in an enclosure in their village and feed them scraps, and then when they got big enough, they would eat them.
And they would eat the bears.
That's what Vandenberg intonates, at least. And he's fascinated with the bears. There's one sequence in the book where he tries to buy one of the bears, which I think is just wonderful because, you know, what would he have done with it? He was in the middle of, like, the wilderness with, like, a bear.
Put it on a leash and walked through the forest with it.
Yeah, that's all I could imagine. But, you know, there's a sequence earlier where I just kind of made, a one-page wordless sequence, 16 panels, of just a Van Den Bogart feeding the bears because he's just so, you know, excited by the bears. And it was stuff like that. Once I realized I could do that, kind of play a little bit with what was hinted in the text, that I was able to, you know, bring it out into the story a little bit more.
Charles, you're up in Albany. When you walk around, can you, through the streets and the buildings, picture what Vandenbogart might have been seeing when he was there?
I do it every night when I go home on the bus because we follow the same street patterns that he probably walked on. From the fort into the village to the north of the fort, and Albany still maintains a lot of the Dutch character. I often say that the Dutch village is still here, but maybe 10 feet below the surface. We have this problem in Albany. Whenever a new construction site goes in, they immediately dig into a Dutch site. And it's there, and the street patterns are there, and I live with this every day, of course. I'm constantly involved in the 17th century, so I have these illusions, if you want, of what things must have looked like. We'll never know for sure, but it's pretty clear to me.
That's why we need artists like you, George, to help us
That's
imagine
right.
what this looked like. Well, I've been speaking with the illustrator George O'Connor and the historian Charles Gehring. The book is Journey into Mohawk Country. It's a graphic novel that illustrates and perhaps expands upon the...
Elaborates
is a good word. The journal of an explorer, someone who went into the woods to meet the Mohawk in the 17th century. Thank you so much for being on The Leonard Lopate Show.
Oh, thank you very much.
It was my pleasure.